Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 637. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to say that when I marched my 25,000 men on Chris's house to take over the podcast, I didn't really mean it. I apologize. I will now be headed to Belarus.
Oh, maybe that's why Walt wanted to. I was very confused.
Jeff, I mean, that might be impeachment worthy.
Yeah. I mean, that would, if he had told me that, then I would have.
He didn't have those details yet. I tried to keep him out of the loop on the actual rebellions.
Jeff is here as well.
Yeah, I'm ready to podcast. I got my Logitech headset, which is just as good as your guys. You know, a lot of people are making jokes about that submarine implosion or submersible, whatever you want to call it, the implosion. But I don't know. I don't know if I could sink that low.
Oh, my God.
And that was for Tony.
That was a good one. I like that. I just like all the people who are surprised that they found human remains. Like, the thing literally, like, splatted them. Of course there's human remains.
No, people were saying that, oh, I doubt you would. And it's like, and then there's, like, people like, it's going to be 100,000 degrees for, like, a millisecond. And so, like, they'll just burn to ash. I'm like, dude, just because it goes that hot for a millisecond doesn't mean shit. Because, like, have you ever waved your hand over a flame? If you wave your hand over a flame, it does, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to... If also, it happens for that quick, and you know you're in water, I don't know.
Based on the wreckage that they brought up, which was more intact than I was anticipating, I don't think they were at the bottom of the ocean when it imploded. Like, they lost contact with them about 2 hours into the 13,000 foot dive.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get to the bottom of the ocean. And
yeah, do we have an idea of what percent of the way they were down?
I think it was very early, like maybe 4,000, 5,000 meters is like the math I was doing.
I'm sure this company kept very, very close track. Excellent records, so we know exactly the depth at where it should disappear. Based on their track record.
I hate to be the morbid one, but like since this story is broke, like my number one concern is like what happens to the human bodies. Like I really want to know like what condition they're in, you know, are they like intact at all? Is it like, you know, just like traces of tissue? What are we talking about? Bone fragments or are there pieces of body? If anyone out there has got the lowdown, let me know.
Yeah, that is something I did not look. I'm fascinated by the construction of it, Jeff. Like, I did not look into the vaporization of the body.
No, because the whole time, I'm like, I want to put myself in their shoes. Like, I want to imagine what it was possibly like and what happened. And so, like, I want to know, you know?
All right. I just pray that it was quick, right? Like, I mean, we know that if it imploded, that it probably was very quick that they died, like, without actually knowing, but...
I don't believe... I hear you. I've heard all this, like, oh, it would be, like, you know, it takes this amount of time for, you know... I just feel like there would be, like, this split second where you're like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you know something's not right.
I hope it was very quick for four of them. One of them, I hope it was very, very slow. He realized what was going on, and...
The whole thing is fascinating.
Yeah, it really caught my imagination, like, or whatever, curiosity, whatever, fascination, the whole time. I don't. It seems like I'm not alone.
No, and then just like, you know, you hear all this stuff coming out about the CEO who was on the sub. And all the corners he cut, and it's like, this whole thing doesn't seem safe, and you look at it, and it's just a tube with a game controller and a monitor.
I mean, yeah, like, their sub looks so janky compared to, like, for instance, James Cameron's.
I love the comparison. Like, one is just an empty metal tube, and the other one is packed to the gills with every sort of safety equipment imaginable.
Yeah. Right. And like, you know, it seems like a lot more thought. And then like, this guy's just like, I like the aesthetic of being going really simple. Just a little controller, a little tube. We're good.
What is like, we wanted one button to be able to operate it. I was like, we want it to work like an elevator.
I saw him showing off in that old news clip. Like, yeah, it's just one button. I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I like, you know, I get
more buttons.
You're going for simplicity. I get it. I get that.
Hold A to descend. If you want to descend faster, you press A repeatedly. That's the control mechanism.
I am qualified to operate the elevator at work. I am not qualified to operate a submarine. And if that is
this one you were.
Yeah, but I should not be qualified to operate a submarine. Although I probably could control it a little bit. I would not have used a Logitech game controller though.
Yeah,
and it would have been wired if we had to use the game controller. Yeah, would have been wired, no latency.
Yes, exactly.
Oh wow. Yeah. So that happened. Some games came out as well. I don't know if there's any news. Earl's not here. He's going to be away. He'll be back next week. He is on enjoying his lengthy vacation. So he normally does the news, and nothing's really caught my eye except for the FTC stuff. That trial, not trial, I guess it's like a preliminary injunction hearing that's been going on. It ended today. I did not read the reports on how that went, but up until now, it has not been going very good for the FTC.
They seem to build their entire case around defending Sony, which is not what they're supposed to do.
Right.
It's just odd to hear them standing like this. This is, you know, it endangers Sony and could damage them. And the judge in the case is like, no, it's not about Sony. I don't care about the rights of a Japanese company. What does it do to consumers? And they have no argument. They have no data. They haven't really put together a good case there. It's just really odd.
That's the wild thing is like the judge is like, well, I want to see your data. Like, how did you come up with these numbers? And they don't have an answer. She's like, Microsoft's economist showed data. They have the data to support. How do you support your argument with your economist? You don't have any data. Is it just feelings? Like
feelings.
It's crazy. I mean, we've talked about it before. There's plenty of reasons to block the merger or attempt to, you know, at least have hearings on it. What the FTC is doing here, though, makes zero sense. Like, defending Sony,
like, aren't they experts in this? Like, I am so confused by their case. It makes absolutely no sense. You are a professional attorney. Your job, like, your entire career is built upon pursuing these kind of cases, and you like forgot. I don't understand what happened.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that did come out of it was funny. I guess like Pete Hines from Bethesda, he was slightly surprised when Phil Spencer and I think it's Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, like made public statements saying that they wouldn't keep, like they would continue to keep COD multi-platform because when they acquired him, they were like, your stuff is now Xbox only. But they're very different types of games that are made too.
Which was another odd thing about the trial, because the judge didn't seem to understand the difference between types of games. And there was some really odd conversations going on about like, he didn't get like Elder Scrolls. He thought that Elder Scrolls, Skyrim and the MMO that they have were the same thing, and he didn't understand the difference between the two.
Well, and I mean that, and to be fair, the judge, they've been asking questions throughout. That was probably the FTC trying to paint it all as like, look, Elder Scrolls is all the same, like,
you know,
Fallout's all the same, and no. Like, they've been very weird in their presentation, and Microsoft and Activision have been very prepared for everything, and they answer well. And
except apparently Microsoft's attorney keeps calling the Nintendo Switch a Nintendo.
Hey, I mean,
I didn't catch that. That is good, yeah, though. I like yeah. that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like a grandmother.
That's how the people out there understand
it. I mean, the FTC doesn't consider the Switch as part of the video game market anyway, so.
Which is another hilarious argument. Like, the best-selling console, like, ever.
Right. It's no, like, well, no, they don't. They don't care. It's only Sony and Xbox. They're the only consoles. Like, okay. And then sometimes they want to paint it as, you know, globally, this could happen. But then, like, they want to narrow it for saying, well, Xbox is, like, you know, they're pretty close with Sony here. Yeah, but worldwide, they're not very close. Like, Sony's outselling them, like, 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 in some cases. Like, they're not within striking distance. Like, this deal doesn't change that. We'll see. I guess the judge will, present their findings or whatever their ruling will be shortly. Because the end, I guess the preliminary deal is supposed to be done sometime in July, is when Microsoft's supposed to take control of Activision. If this injunction happens, that could delay that. Also, the CMA in the UK is also holding it, but there are workarounds for that, including not working, not operating in the UK, which would be weird, but I don't think the UK wants that either, so
no,
they'll probably come to an agreement.
Speaking of the Nintendo, we did not do a show last week, right? So there was a Nintendo not. Direct. Well, yes. I'll do the abridged version that Earl would do, which is there's a new 2D Mario coming. How do you guys feel about that?
How do I feel about that?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, Tony.
Oh yeah, no. I it's been what, 2013 was the last one, 2012.
It was whenever the Wii U launched, right? Cuz like it launched with new Super Mario Brothers U. So whenever
that
yeah,
was
whenever,
the last one, huh? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I mean that it was brought back on the Switch, right? Like they re-released it on there, but that was the last 2D Mario game. Yeah.
Also, Earl was supposed to supply us a statement that we were supposed to read on the air about his reaction.
Was something to like, the, ee!
Yeah, I believe, but you have to say it right. It's got to be like, it's got to be something like that.
That works. Jeff, are you less excited than
Yeah, I am less excited. I don't know. I just think 3D Mario is way better. Like, and having replayed through the Wii U one this year, I think, very recently anyways, I don't know. It's just, maybe there will be new ideas in this that, like, make it feel fresh and stuff. And it does look like there's some cool, wacky shit.
You're an elephant.
Yeah, that was a fun little thing at the end of the trailer. The art style is a little different than the boring new Super Mario Brothers, but I don't think a lot different.
No, like people are like making it out like, oh my god, it looks so much. It's like so creative. Like it kind of
to
looks
me,
like 3D Mario.
The thing that like looks different is like the character itself. Like Mario himself looks a little different. Like he's like kind of facing the camera more and like smiling, or I don't know, but it's like, a lot of the background looks like, to me, as bland as the as you know, the other new Super Mario Bros. Games. I'm not saying like I'm not gonna play it or anything, like, you know, obviously,
yeah, you're definitely gonna play it,
yeah.
I hope,
but
we get
it's tight schedule there.
It jumps into it's October, right? And which yeah. is. Crazy packed with games right now.
Does it come out like right around Spider-Man?
Let's see. What it's called, Super Mario Wonder, right?
Yeah, I think it comes out like, you know, October 20th or
Mario Brothers Wonder, October 20th. So it's like a week after Spider-Man.
That's tight, man. I don't know. And if I had to like choose one out of those two, I think it would be Spider-Man. As crazy as that sounds, it's just to me, it's just, I don't know. I know I like it, but it's just like, I don't know.
Oh no. So they're both, I thought Spider-Man was the 13th, but Google is saying it is also the 20th. That seems crowded.
Yeah, so like
very crowded.
All right, you know, that day I'm not gonna buy both of them that day, and it's like, I don't know, I think I go with Spider-Man.
Yeah, sure, but also you're also gonna give Nintendo their $60 for Mario anyway, because sure, that game's not going on sale for another 4 years, so
yeah, for sure. There's something else too, like right around that date too, that's like kind of a big game. I mean, there's a lot, but
I'm pulling up October now. October has, let's see. Detective Pikachu. Which is a Switch game, evidently. On the 6th, Forza Motorsport on the 10th, Assassin's Creed Mirage on the 12th, Lords of the Fallen on the 13th, Alan Wake 2 on the 17th, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 on the 19th, Spider-Man 2, 20th, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, the 20th, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1, the 24th, Alone in the Dark, 25th, Total War Pharaoh, that month to be announced.
That's what I was thinking of.
That was the one? That was weird for you, but
out of those, I you know what, I'd be honest, like I would consider the Lords of the Fallen, depending on how like you know how the reviews are and stuff. But
you know how that's gonna go, Jeff.
Yeah, probably.
Those reviews are gonna be good, then you're gonna play.
I won't like it. I hate this. Yeah, probably. That's how it goes with almost every Souls like game.
I did see, and this was weird. This was a piece of news that came out today. Baldur's Gate 3 moved up to August 3rd for PC.
Like a month early.
Yeah.
But a week later than originally for the PS5, which puts it right up against Starfield.
Well,
I mean, I really don't think those two games are in competition.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on getting Baldur's Gate either, but I mean, they kind of are, Tony. I think, I don't know.
I mean, they're two RPGs. They're different types of RPGs, very different. But I'm wondering if Larian put it there for the simple fact that like PS5 only players,
right?
There you go.
They're not gonna play Starfield because they can't. So give them like an opportunity for another RPG. Yeah, it's August is nuts too. Like it's gonna get really, I think Pikmin this year is where it kicks off.
Yeah, and you know, it's already the first half of 2023, I think, is like an all timer. Like honestly, it's been a really great year, I think.
Very good. I mean, between Dead Space, Resident Evil, Zelda, Diablo, I'm sure I'm missing. I mean,
that's like an all-time year right there. Like just Zelda and Diablo, like
Final Fantasy really 16 games in there.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's been a very wild Star Wars for like a,
yeah, you forgot it. See, yeah.
I mean, and you really like that the wizard game.
I really did. Yeah.
And we have it, that is a thing that like was really hot for like 2 weeks, and then something else came. Like that seems to be how the year goes. It's just like
just one banger after another. Yeah.
Here's the thing, and then here's the new thing. Speaking of new things, though, some stuff did come out recently. Nothing big, I would say. But I picked up that Aliens Dark Descent game, which is the strategy. Well, they call it a tactical strategy game. It is real time. You control those people in real time. Like you have to move your squad all at once, and the aliens continue to come at you. Like when they're attacking, there is no like move your guy over here into like this part of the grid and set up Overwatch. It is. it is real time. Like your guys will shoot as stuff happens and you can give orders, but it's a weird way of doing a tactical strategy game.
Yeah, any time to set up.
Yeah, no, you no time to set up. Although you do get these, you will get parts where it's like an incoming swarm is coming, right? So you know that you need to set up. You have a little bit of time. You can get out your turret. You can give orders to your squad and have them like, all right, I'm going to have this guy, you know, lay down suppressing fire. This one's going to do shotgun blast. This one's going to like toss a grenade. So you can like, you have that, but once the action starts, like you'll get those moves you set up, but then you have to do everything all at once. It's neat. I do like it. You get like an APC, I assume both of you have seen Aliens. Mm-hmm. Like the car that the lieutenant and Ripley are in at the beginning, while the Marines like get out and they go into mm-hmm. like you get to drive around in the APC. You can run over aliens with it. Ooh. That's kind of fun. But it's all done from like that isometric perspective. So think Diablo, Jeff. But
I'm always thinking Diablo.
But at one, I guess there is loot. Like you're picking up stuff. It's normally like stuff to craft better guns. I don't know why you'd craft guns, but you do need to like get parts so that you can upgrade your weaponry. And then there's a little bit of XCOM in the off mission parts where you're on the ship and then you have these different areas. Like there's a med bay, so if your squad members get injured, you want to get them healed up faster. You can ask the doctor to do that, and that takes up like a bed in the med bay. There is a research area for them to upgrade your guns. As you're rescuing colonists, if you rescue like a former Marine or a veteran of some case, they'll get put into the roster. So then you have new rookies. That's how you're replenishing any of your troops that die, is by basically enlisting the people that you're rescuing on the planet. And there's like another piece too, I think, but drawing a blank on that. It's neat. It is budget priced. It's like $40. So it plays fine on a controller. I bet it would play better with a mouse and keyboard. But I think if you like Aliens, it captures that flavor. Like you feel the first mission after the tutorial area, it kind of feels like that first, like where, like at the beginning of Aliens, where you're dropping down onto LV-426 and you're in the APC and you're going into these, pre-made Weyland-Yutani. Basically, because it's a company town, so you're going into like the company town buildings, and but they're all abandoned, and it gets the feel, because like the aliens aren't just like swarming you at all times. Like they'll pick and choose their spots to attack, and then they will swarm at you like if you do enough damage. And then there's queens in the area, and there's like it's neat. It's a neat little game. Very hard though. Very much more difficult than I was expecting. Jeff, what have you been playing? I assume it's Diablo.
Yeah, a lot of Diablo. I've since we last talked about it.
Have you beaten Diablo?
Yes. Yeah, I beat it. Pissed on it. Beat it some more. Beat the campaign. Did the capstone dungeon in World Tier 2.
What does that unlock Tier 3? So what is the capstone dungeon? Like, what do you have to do?
It's just another dungeon. But yeah, you have to like switch to Tier 2 to do it. I forgot if there's like something you have to do to like find it. I think it just might be on your map. But then after that, you'll have Tier 3 available, and that's where all the end game shit is. There's like a tree of whispers you could go to, and it'll say, bring me 10 grim favors, and we'll give you like a cash, right? And grim favors are like, they'll be marked all over the map, and it'll basically be a dungeon that, you know, if you do this dungeon, you get 5 grim favors. So once you build up 10, you go back to this tree. It'll give you an option of 3 different caches you could get. You know, like a helm cache, a glove cache. And you hope to get, like, you know, even more special, like, sacred legendary, you know, drop out of it. There's that. But then you'll also be getting these other caches called nightmare caches. And when you open those, it turns one of the dungeons on the map into a nightmare dungeon where you, you know, theoretically will get even more cooler shit. And, like, you know, it, like, alters the dungeons in ways like, you know, you'll attack with lightning out of nowhere in this dungeon or whatever, you know. It's just kind of like alterations to dungeons and shit. And it's got me on the hook. Like, I'm still into it. Like, I'm still... I want to, like... You know, I was past level 50 by the time I got to this end game shit, and I want to get to 100. I want to max out my druid, but man, it starts to go slow once you hit 50. I don't know if any of you guys have reached 50 yet and open up the Paragon board.
No.
You know, so your skill tree ends at 50. I mean, you can still earn skill tree points by getting renown on the map and stuff like that. Once you're on the Paragon board, the cool thing is after level 50, like, you don't have to level up to earn Paragon points. It's every quarter of the bar that you fill up, you get a Paragon point. So for each time you level up, you're getting four Paragon points, but man, like, it goes slow.
And then the Paragon points are like, you know, .01 to health or what?
It's usually like +5 to a stat, +5 to willpower, +5 to intelligence, +5 to the. But yeah, there'll be ones like that. But then there'll also be big ones that'll be like, you know, +10 to this and +10 to that. And if you meet these other requirements, then it's double that. And when you reach the end of the Paragon board, you attach on another Paragon board. And the cool thing about that is, you know, because I'm on my second Paragon board now, it'll give you a list of different Paragon boards, like, that you could choose from, like, you know, and I chose, since I've now made my druid, like, all, like, lightning and storm focused, like, I chose, like, you know, it's like, it said, like, lightning Paragon board, so it's, like, all adding to like, shit that is actually for me.
Okay, so it's like build specific.
Yeah, like, pretty much. I mean, there's still a lot of like generic nodes in there, like, you know, +5 to intelligence, +5, you know, whatever, dexterity. But then, like, the good ones are always, it'll be like +10% storm damage. You know, it's like, yes. And then this second Paragon board is way bigger and more busy than the first one, and I just imagine it's getting crazier and crazier. And I'm only on now level 55, and like I said, it goes slow, but in those 5 levels, I've leveled up, you know, 20 times. So, yeah, it's still keeping me coming back. On top of the fact that, like, I'm playing with other people who are way, way, way behind me.
It's just weird for me to hear you say that, because I'm already getting bored of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it feels like. I mean, the upgrade stuff is nice, and there's a whole lot of, like, gear and stuff to collect. But the actual gameplay is the same thing over and over and over and over.
That's true.
And over.
Yeah, I mean, it's Diablo.
I think it's, I mean, yeah.
Very good Diablo. Exactly. But
that's the thing. I think it's greatly improved over 3. So, like, less boring. I don't disagree with you, Tony, but, like, I find the combat itself to be way more exciting than 3, and, like, the boss counters to, like, actually be challenging and stuff.
I like the boss battles. They tend to be fun and interesting and varied, But the rest of the game is just like, okay, here's a horde of enemies. A bunch of them will charge you. Some of them will stand back and shoot at you. And it's just that over and over and over again.
Yeah, you're just clearing out mobs and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the genre, though. Like, I don't know. I can see getting bored of it, and I'm sure I will eventually, but it's just fun to me see numbers go up, and to be like, I will tell you what's boring to me. So, like, I was playing with my wife earlier, who is in Act 3, and I'm coming in as, like, this god, and it's cool, because I could just literally stand there and not even press a button, and nothing will happen to me, but, it's also makes it boring. Like, it's outside of, like, the boss fights that we get to do. And even then, it's like, there's no chance of me ever failing and getting killed. But, like, at least that is, like, the boss fights are a little more fun.
And
yeah,
I guess and it does scale up to you, right? But it's because you're on the lower level there.
Yeah, to a point. But
or,
like,
is it at 50? Like, that kind of where the enemies max out at?
Yeah, like, pretty much it does. Well, she's on world tier. She finally switched to world tier 2 because of how she is good. Like, she's beyond what she should be, probably, for where she's at. And you have me there. But even still, it's just, I don't know what it is. I mean, it just, like, when I play in world tier 3 and I'm doing shit on my own, yeah, I could get dicey. Like, I could easily die. I'm finally starting to, like, get an edge in world tier 3 where I'm, like, kind of holding my own, but, like, very early on in World Tier 3, I was, like, getting my ass kicked, like, dying a bunch of times trying to do a dungeon. But yeah, I don't know. However it works, like, me and her game, like, when we're fighting a boss, it shows the boss as her level now. So I think it just kind of gave up trying to
manage you.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be able to show because we're both playing on the same screen. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to say, but I know it, like, at a certain point, yeah, like, you're not going to keep up with me until World Tier 3. Like, I think World Tier 3 is built for levels 50 through 70, and then you go on from there. Anyways, I'm sure this is, like, really all exciting to hear about, but I do think the end game, like, if you're into it, like, the end game stuff, like, it gives you plenty to do once you're done with the campaign. And even though we skipped all the campaign shit, I hear the story itself is pretty good.
It's I mean, where and granted, I think I'm only through Act 1, so
holy shit.
It's decent enough.
Fine. It all seems pretty, like, generic for the genre.
Yeah, like, it's more, I think there's more to it than, like, what 3 had, but, yeah, like, it's, and it's, I think it's much better written than it has been in the past, but, yeah, it's not a bad story, it's just, like, yeah, here's demons.
Yeah, if you're playing an RPG for a story, this is not the one. This is, like, I mean, there's enough story to make you, like, keep going. But you're not going to be, oh my god, that just happened and it was so cool. Or, look at these awesome characters, which, I mean, the characters are all super generic. Like, there is a plot holding you and moving you from place to place.
Yeah.
And,
I think some of the factions are neat. Like, if you're, you know, when the first, one of the first people you meet in the game, once you get to the big city, is, like, this priestess lady, mother or something. And then as you're going along, you learn a little bit more about her, like, religious sect. And, like, it's pretty fucked up, like, the shit that they do. but like, that's, like, just flavor. It's, like, that's neat that, like, that happens in this world. And they have these big cathedrals. And this whole religious group is very gross.
There's a cool, like, Hellraiser, like, side mission type thing I ran into.
Oh, yeah.
He was getting, like, flayed. For fun.
He runs off with.
He was enjoying it, though.
Yeah, no, that's Hellraiser. That's like the idea that. Just as a final, like,
I think the side quests, Jeff, though, I think the side quests are like the best written stuff in the game, though. Like that yeah. stuff is like yeah. really cool.
Well, because it's just a little flavor and it's like it doesn't require, you know, it's just like, hey, look at this like weird thing that's going on. You're like,
yeah.
But just unrelated to the story, like, have either of you guys done a stronghold yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like those because those are always like, even when I hit level 50, they were two above me, they'd be 52. I'll give you a little bit of a challenge, you know.
Yeah, like you, they're. I mean, it's basically a like a Far Cry 4
yeah,
or something
yeah,
you got to take on, but
too,
yeah, it's but yeah, they're always harder than your level, and you do have to take some of them out for story reasons, like oh, you have to do this to advance this piece of the story.
And there was one I had to take out for my class reasons to like help fill out my class too.
Okay.
I really love it.
It's neat. I'm glad you're liking it. I think Tony's right. Like if you're playing it for the reasons you're playing it, Jeff, and it's like, you know, you like the loot, you like the numbers going up.
Mm-hmm.
I think aesthetically it looks really good. But yeah, Tony, if you're not like, if that's not like what you're into, like it's not, yeah. probably won't hold your attention much past beating the game.
I think if you're into the genre and you know, you've played all these games, like the amount of stuff they added versus 3, again, like strongholds, shit like that, like just dungeons all over the place. Like, I don't know.
Just having general open world too.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like it is, yeah, a lot of the same stuff all over, but it's like, if you're into this genre, this is like a feast, you know. It's like, hell yeah, dude, this is never ending Diablo. I love it a lot.
We're gonna come back to, I know you're playing something else, and I want to touch on that with you, but Tony, have you played anything?
So I have been playing Diablo a little bit, but I got distracted by this other game. So as you guys know, my kids are obsessed with Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Time for me to make a drink.
So on Father's Day, they're like, what are we going to do for Father's Day? I'm like, let's play Pokemon. So I started, I had not played myself Pokemon since Pokemon X.
While back?
That is a while ago. I mean, I've dabbled, but I haven't actually played through a game. So I started a game in Pokemon Violet. So...
That's a new one, right?
That is the new one. So the open world Pokemon where you can go anywhere and do whatever you want. And I think I just finished the fifth gym. So I'm getting through it. Like I have played a ton of Pokemon. I've caught so many Pokemon. It's weird playing it now. Because, you know, I watch my kids play Pokemon. I watch them watch the anime and like all of that. So you like? I feel like I know a little bit about Pokemon, and I run into so many damn Pokemon in this game that I have never seen or heard of before. I'm like, who the hell is? Well, let me see. I have my game open right now. Toxicroak, I know, but like Annihilape, like oh, it's the evolved form of Prime. And like, I don't know who these Pokemon are.
No, that is not one I've heard of.
Low kicks. I'm like, oh, that's a fighting type. No, it's a bug and dark type. But that doesn't make any sense to me. It says it's got kicks in the name. It should be a fighting type. So I'm learning a ton about Pokemon I've never heard of before, which is kind of cool too. It's like you get that experience of, because there's so many Pokemon in the game now, of like really experiencing them for the first time and figuring them out. And I have now have more of a sense of like the actual depth of Pokemon, because apparently when I played through Pokemon X, Pokemon X is the easiest game in the series. I did not know that. I had no idea. I'm like, I played through this, I guess it's a series for children, it's so easy, I got through it so simply. No, that is not the case. And these games, you actually have to work. You have to like make sure to level up your Pokemon to a certain point. You need to put out the right Pokemon at the right time, have the right move sets, and train them up so that they have like the right stats and everything. And make sure you find the right Pokemon to begin with, because if they have the wrong the wrong like mindset or whatever it's called. They have like reduced stats. It's a whole thing. I'm actually really enjoying the experience of having to go out and find the perfect Pokemon and level them up and get them in the right spot. I'm finding this way more enjoyable than Diablo, which feels like the same thing over and over and over again. The other thing I've noticed, one of the things I complained about in Pokemon X way back in the day, is that the moves the actual Pokemon use in battle seem to be so random. Like, so the Pokemon has four moves, and the AI would just pick one at random. That is not true, apparently. There is an actual AI. It's logic based. It will, if you're fighting a random Pokemon like in the wild, it picks random moves. But if there's a trainer involved, that is not the case.
It's tied to the trainer, right? Like how
So the trainer may have a strategy. They may use a certain move to start off. They may look at your Pokemon stats and say your Pokemon stat is too high in speed. Therefore, I'm going to use this move that's going to reduce your speed first. So it like actually does think, which makes some of the battles kind of challenging depending on what Pokemon you have in your group. So that part is fun. The other thing I've noticed from, you know, comparing it to Pokemon X way back in the day, is they have done so many quality of life improvements in the game to make it easier to play. For instance, as you find Pokemon, you can only have six in your group, and the rest get sent to your, they call them boxes. You used to have to, like, go to a Pokemon Center and open up a computer and then go through that computer to find the Pokemon in your boxes to switch them into your group. Now you can open your boxes from any damn place you happen to be.
That's good, because it was always pretty dumb. Like, I have to go to the computer and the Pokemon Center and transfer my guys in and out.
Yeah. There's also way more Pokemon Centers than there ever were in the previous games. And they're all outside. So you don't have to keep going into a building and waiting for the building to load and then going up to the desk and talking to the person. Like, you just come to the outskirts of the town, and on the outskirts of the town, there's a Pokemon Center with a booth outside. You walk up to the person and they heal all your Pokemon.
That's nice.
Yes. And it's the same with the shop. Like, the shop would, I think in certain games, it's a completely different building from the Pokemon Center. But the two are right next to each other. So there's a lady who heals your Pokemon, and then the shop right next where you can buy all your new Pokeballs and everything. It makes life so much easier. There's also, like, when you're, like, going through the menus, there are a bunch of, like, quick hit buttons. Like, you can hit a button and then make that Pokemon your lead Pokemon. Or if you hit the minus button, it will automatically apply all of the healing items to that Pokemon to bring it back to full strength without you having to go through your menu and find the right potion and then find, like, the paralyzed heal and all that stuff. It'll just do it for you. So I am really enjoying playing through this this one now. I kind of wish Pokemon games had always been like this, because it's just so much better. Like, all the little, like, nagging things have been fixed. So now it's just going out, finding as many Pokemon as you can, progressing through the story, which, frankly, the story in Pokemon is better than the story in Diablo. Sorry, Jeff. even though it's about children.
I'm sure either way.
So I'm really enjoying it. So I think I might even play the DLC when it comes out in the fall.
It's like the only one I've ever finished is Let's Go Pikachu, which is maybe I finished Sun and Moon. I don't know. But like, what is the story in Scarlet and Violet? Like,
there's actually three parts to the story. So there's most Pokemon games start like this. You're a little kid. You've just moved to town, and you start your journey. But in this case, you've moved to the town because in the middle of the town is this Pokemon Academy, which is the place where all the great Pokemon trainers go to, you know, learn all about Pokemon and become the greatest trainers in the world and whatever. So, but part of the academy's, I don't want to say indoctrination, curriculum, that's the word I'm looking for, is to send you out on this journey. And as part of that journey, you have like three different like missions. One is to challenge all the gyms and become the champion.
Right. That's standard Pokemon.
Right. One of them, you run into this trainer who seems kind of put offish, and he's like, you know, you should help me with this thing. And you later learn that he's got a Pokemon that has been his friend forever and is dying, and he's on this quest to save this Pokemon from dying by finding these herbs. So you help him with that. And then the third one is this academy has like this offshoot group of students who are they're truant, and they've gotten to the point where the headmaster of the academy is like, I'm going to have to throw you all out, and you're not going to be allowed to be Pokemon trainers anymore. And you're on like a quest to vanquish them with the help of the headmaster, who doesn't actually want to expel all these students. So, and there's a bunch of story stuff that happens along with all of that. So,
okay.
Obviously, I paid close enough attention that I can see all that happening. Whereas Diablo, I have no idea. I can't really tell you. There's some giant horned woman. So.
Lilith.
Lilith. Yes, Lilith. Good who makes man. People, you know, do what she wants.
You have to hide her statues. That's the only thing that matters about Lilith.
Well, isn't she like the big bad? Isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Like, yeah. Who cares about the story? You're there to kill shit. That's right. And then her statues give you the stats. That's what my wife is like obsessed with, is the Lilith statues, and she is really good at spotting them. Like, we'll be like, she's like, no, there's one, and you're like, no, there isn't, and like you go up there, and it's like it blends into the background so well. But there is one. She sees it.
That's probably why I've only found like two.
Dude, it's amazing how many she'll find. She'll find like three, like really close to each other. And you're like, they must be everywhere, and I'm just blind.
And like the you can go to the like a
it shows page. You on the map. Yeah.
When it's like there's 28 in this region.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. Like, and you found two.
I have walked all over this region. Where are they?
Yeah, it's wild how good she is at spotting them. But I'm happy she does, because it gives you, I think, +2 to all your stats for each one you find. So,
I'm sure somebody is going to upload a map.
So. Oh, I'm sure there is, but I would think that would ruin the fun of finding those. I don't know.
Oh, it's like, yay, I got it. But
yeah.
If like I'm getting towards the end, and it's like, I have not found these yet, damn it. I may resort to it. All right. Let's see. I also picked up Park Beyond. It's an amusement park simulator. Kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon. That type of thing.
Yeah, I think I probably saw this on Xbox.
Yeah, it's on Xbox, on PC, on PS5. Yeah, and it's basically that, right? Like you end up, you build up your park, you place down rides, it attracts people in, and you need to like, you know, maintain happiness with your customers coming in, and you need to you're trying to make a successful theme park business. And the cool thing about it, though, is it has like this whole roller coaster builder, so you can like build out roller coasters, and then you can ride them in first person.
Ooh, that's cool.
I seem to remember, I want to say it's called Thrill Ride.
Yeah.
There was a game I played that, I'm surprised I've never gotten more into this genre, but there was a game I played that, like that. You're building a park, but if you want to, you could go ride the ride you built, you know?
Yeah, and that's what's cool about this. It's like you like are setting the tracks, and like this, what this does is like it's not just normal like tracks. Like you can also do like you're going to go through a cannon, and it'll shoot off. Like you'll go through the air, you'll fly through the air, and then land back on the tracks somewhere else. And that's that's like the big thing with this is it's called impossification, and it's like if you can build, you get the rides popular enough, it unlocks the ability to then set it with this like crazy metric or something, where you know you're throwing people off of stuff, and it's like, oh, this is super dangerous. That's going to attract more people to your park.
It'd be cool if you could die.
I mean, it hasn't let me die yet, but I am sure that you can create a ride that just shoots things off.
Fucking shoots into the air.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll.
And then just leave it like that. Yeah. See how your park goes.
It's like, please come to my park and ride my death coaster. I bet it would play a whole lot better on PC. And it's a shame that it's not cross between PC and Xbox. But I think the controller works fine. It's just not, you just can get more detail, like more fine-tuned detail with a mouse. You know, 'cause you have you can scroll on the mouse and turn things certain ways. Like, I think mouse keyboard is probably the better way to play this. I'm playing on Xbox and it's fine. You get some really cool tools. Like, oh, there's like this big cliff in the way. You can just tunnel through the cliff. So your roller coaster can go through the cliff, like through like the mountainside. So it now becomes a tunnel and it shoots out under a waterfall. Like there's some really cool stuff in there. There's some neat characters in the campaign, which is basically just, hey, here's some challenges, and like, you know, we're basically teaching you how to use like the more advanced features, but we're doing it as part of a campaign. And there's like a story of, you know, this Willy Wonka type dude is in charge of the park, but these investors are trying to take it over. So you're trying to like help him build cool rides to get his park back. But then there's also just a straight up like flat land, do whatever you want, come in. And you can do it so that it's like very restrictive, where it's, oh, this needs to be, it's very sim-like and you're having to do a lot of the management stuff. Or you can just be like, I want to build cool shit. So like you can have an unlimited budget and just make cool crap. Like it's pretty neat. It's also budget price. I think it's 50. It will be on sale, and I would recommend then, because it was a little bit janky when I played it. Like it was stuttering a little bit in the first person sections when I was riding the roller coasters, but I think like a couple patches in and maybe a discount half. If that's something you're interested in, it's fun.
It sounds like everything you would kind of want out of that game, right? You
know, yeah.
Like the Coco campaign, the ability to ride your creations, and the ability to just build out however you want.
Yeah, there's a sandbox. Like it's fun. I'm enjoying it, and yeah, it is kind of everything you want out of it, just made simple, free to play. But also, like, if you want it to be hard, like you can turn the difficulty stuff up and make it more difficult that way. Jeff, you bought a PS5.
I did, finally.
So you're now about one of time. Us.
Yeah.
And you got God of War.
Well, because it was a God of War PS5 like bundle thing, and it was on sale for $500. So basically, God of War for free.
Yeah. Okay.
But God of War was like one of the games that was like enticing me to buy a PS5, and so yeah, I've been playing through Ragnarok.
How's that treating you?
To be perfectly honest, I don't care for it much. I really don't. And
did you play through the first one?
Yeah. Yeah, and I liked it a lot. I think it was on my top 10 list that year, and I remember, and kind of with this one too a little bit, like strangely enough reminds me of Resident Evil 4, if that makes any sense to you guys, just because
his camera's pulled in a little bit closer.
Yeah, and it's like you get little puzzles here and there, and you're upgrading your shit. Like it's like an action game in that vein. But like, and I remember really liking the first one, but we've come a long way since that first one in terms of like what an open world game can be and what a game could be. And to me, like just me personally, like this game, it's good, it's fine, and it has like great production values. Like the graphics are great, good voice acting, the fucking axe mechanic still feels really cool. Like the throwing the axe out and then pressing the triangle and it comes flying back into your hand, that still feels really awesome. But like this type of game has to die. I'm sorry. Like I am over this type of game. Like, and you could kind of point to a lot of the Sony games as being the mold of this, but it's kind of like AAA games in general. Like the big budget, like we're trying to do a movie thing. It's just so boring, dude. It's so boring. It's games should be about playing. Like playing. And this game is not about playing. It's sometimes it lets you play. A lot of other times, it's you're riding down, you're like on rails, you're riding a fucking ride, and hearing people talk about a story that you don't care about. Now, maybe people did care about the story in this one. I sure as fuck don't.
I think that is the disconnect that you're having, Jeff, is that you don't care about the story, and that is what people really like. Like, and this is like 80-85% of all Sony games, that is what people are going for. They like the narrative of it. Like they'll even admit, like, you know, The Last of Us doesn't play great. Uncharted sometimes has very bad combat encounters. They don't really care because they like the story, they like the characters. That's what they're there for. The game part, that like what you're coming to it for, is secondary for them.
I guess if that's what you want out of a video game, is it to be a movie? Like, there you go. I don't know. But like,
congratulations, right?
Yeah, but like, and the gameplay is like, the gameplay in God of War is pretty good. Yeah, it's okay. Like I said, the axe mechanic feels really good. I'm not gonna pin this all on Sony. Like Rockstar Games, same thing, man. Red Dead Redemption. I'm sorry, it's fucking boring, dude. It is boring. I don't want to. Dude, you're playing a game. You're having fun. You're running around. You're doing shit. All of a sudden, it seamlessly transitions into like basically a cutscene where you have to walk super slow and listen to someone talk for 15 minutes as you walk along a path. That's not fun to me, dude. That's not why I'm playing video games. If I want to watch a movie, I'll watch a movie. That shit sucks. And so, like, I'm like really, really forcing myself to keep playing this game because, like, again, the gameplay is like okay, but the whole time, I'm thinking like, dude, I just want to fucking get Demon's Souls. Like, I want to play that one.
Yeah,
PS5 exclusive. That
drop God of, if God of War's not working for you, like you don't need to suffer through it. Like,
that's right. I want to give it a little more of a chance because, like, I've played maybe 5 hours, but I'm like really not far. Like, I'm just still figuring out how like the leveling up and stuff works in it.
I think that's another problem with the like, and like I liked the last God of War. This one is also, I like it. I did not. I stopped playing about where you're at, Jeff.
Yeah, and I also stopped playing.
And I think the problem is that like 5 hours in, like this is an action game. It shouldn't be a 25, 30 hour experience. Like,
well, even if it,
we should be halfway done.
I'll actually disagree. I'll disagree here because I think it could be an action game that could be a 25 hour, 30 hour experience, but it should not. Action game or otherwise, it should not be such a slow ramp up to shit. Like, dude, I don't need this fucking boring first 5 fucking hours where it's just like, here we're going to teach you this, and here we're going to talk about this, and we're like endlessly talking about this, like the story in this. I, as far as I know, could be good, but it seems like it fucking sucks to me. And I would be fine with a 30-hour fucking action game. Fuck yeah. Like, to me, Diablo is a 30-hour action game. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the loop is different.
Yeah, I guess it's just, dude.
And you God of War
hits more like
God of War 1, 2, and 3 were like, you know what, 12 hours tops. There was story there, but
it's making me long for the old God of War. It really is. Because that was action, dude. It was straight up like, go have fun. Like, yes, there's story, but.
Right, but it was like, here's a 30-second or, you know, maybe a 90-second cutscene that kind of sets up what you're doing, and then you're just out there killing Greeks.
Not 10 minutes of, you're rowing down a river, and then go talk to this guy in this fucking inn, and like...
They're trying to, like, mix it as, like,
part RPG, make a movie.
And, yeah, and make it into a... Very cinematic, right?
It's an on rails experience. It was just weird because it's like an open world game, but like, God, man, I guess, and you know, not to like keep hammering home like my disgust with all this shit, but like, when you have games like Breath of the Wild and Elden Ring come out that really truly like let you go out and play, like this type of design does feel dated now. Like, this game never shuts the fuck up. It's always talking to you. It's always like the kid talking to you about the story and what's going on. And hey, remember we were supposed to go do this? Hey, remember we were supposed to go do this? You know what Elden Ring does? It shuts the fuck up and it lets you go, hey, just explore this cool world. And you know what? You're going to find shit.
See, but that's where I utterly disagree, because I think that leaves Elden Ring as an empty game with no reason to be there.
Okay, but you're wrong.
Well, no, you're wrong. It's not
true at all. Well, but it is like the... I see what you're saying, Jeff, and I also see what you're saying, Tony. I think there's like a compromise somewhere in the middle.
There is an in-between zone here.
I don't think you guys have played enough to like Elden Ring. You could stumble on an entire fucking world that's just there because it's cool. The game didn't tell you to go there. It didn't hold your head. It didn't beat you over the fucking head telling you to do it.
Didn't put you on a rail to get there. We're not disputing that, but like the purpose for being in that, you enjoy just dropping in like, I'm gonna go explore this shit and kill these big monsters. And it's like, I need a little more hook. Sounds like Tony needs a little more hook. Like, why are we doing this? Well, as opposed to it's just the gameplay. I am full on board with, like, gameplay is king. I just need a little bit more hook for that, as opposed to, like, I don't need a hook for Pac-Man. I understand what I need for Pac-Man, but you leave me this giant world.
To me, Elden Ring is Pac-Man. It's like, it's... Elden Ring is what the original Legend of Zelda was. Go out and figure it out. And
which,
like,
is also my least favorite Zelda.
I don't know if I put it in top five, but I still really love the original Legend of Zelda. And I would take the original Legend of Zelda over this, because, like, this is just, like, it's just boring, dude. It's this, like, mold that we've fallen into with these AAA games. And like I said, it's not just, you know...
It's not just Sony.
The GTA games, Red Dead Redemption, all these, like, games that used to, like, you know, if you talked to me 10 years ago, I'd say, this is the fucking greatest game I've ever played. We've gone beyond that, dude. And to me, this feels dated, so I'll get off my soapbox. But I don't love God of War Ragnarok. It's well done, but I don't like it.
I think it's perfectly fine to be like, I don't like this. It's perfectly fine to, like, I don't like Elden Ring or Breath of the Wild or, you know, any, like, it's just, we just need to know that these aren't for us anymore, or, like this style of game isn't for us. We can move on and play the stuff we want.
I want to play more of this. I like being able to, like, play through it and really shit on it, put it that way. but like,
I understand that desire.
But I'm trying to hold back. I don't really need to play Demon's Souls right now, and I'm still enjoying Diablo, and so I'm like, keep pushing in God of War, maybe it'll be some cool sights to see, you know what I mean? I'm sure there'll be some cool bosses. Like, when you get to, like, there is, like, a cool fight with Thor early on in Ragnarok, and it's like, yeah. Like,
really neat what they do with that, yeah.
This game should have been more of this. And unfortunately, like, maybe it is. I'm sure there is more of that, but like, too much of rowing down the river in a boat, talking to your boy.
Boy.
Yeah. At least he doesn't say that as much, but like. Now, yeah.
Now he's not. Now he's just not. He's not a little boy anymore. Now he's a moody teenager. Kratos doesn't relate to either.
I am happy that I not buy PS5 solely for God of War Ragnarok. I really. This is my thing. I think I might have said the last time was like, I'm gonna get a PS5 before Spider-Man 2 because I will. I want to play that. I know that'll be fun. You know what I mean? And so now I got it. I can play Spider-Man 2. I can go back and play Demon's Souls. I can play Ratchet and Clank. What else am I missing? What else do I gotta
play? I mean, gotta play? I don't know. But you didn't like Horizon, so maybe skip that one.
That is in the mold of games I do not like.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is less cinematic than this, like, but there's lots of talky. It is open world. Yeah, like you're not gonna dig out. Maybe Returnal. That seems to be in your vein. Like, you like roguelike type stuff. You like, you know, it's a little bit Metroid.
Yeah, no,
design.
Thank you. I totally forgot about that, and that was one of the ones I was like, when I get a PS5, Returnal. Will I beat it? No, I won't. But I'll enjoy it for a while.
And I think that one is now part of PS Plus. So.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking about getting at least the $100 version. But it's like, you know, if you go 100, might as well go 120. You know what I mean? Like
when I renewed, I was just like, give me the big one. Like,
if you on in the store on the PS5, it'll be like, this breaks down to $8.34 a month, and then like the one above that where you get the, I think, the back catalog, like the PS2 and PS3 games, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
it's like, this breaks down to $10 a month. It's like, all right, I can afford a dollar and whatever. Like,
yeah, fine.
Just in case, like, you put something like, maybe I'll play fucking who knows what, like. Probably not, but I like to have, I like to have my options open. Yeah, that thing does not seem to be like their like PS Plus tiered thing does not seem to be as cool as Game Pass, but there's
stuff in there.
It's cool that if I get it, as far as I know, Demon's Souls is on it, Ratchet and Clank is on it. Those are like the two big PS5 games I know I gotta play. What was the one you just said? What's this? Returnal. Yeah. There you go. I mean,
that should hold you until October.
Demon's Souls. I mean, that for sure. And Demon's Souls goes for $70 on the store still as of right now. So, might as well, right?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Tell me it's okay. Tell me to do it. Tell me to spend more money.
Fail. We've been begging you to spend more money for a long time. Maybe this time you should save your money. Take it off guard.
Get a Logitech controller for my.
I would recommend, Jeff, being as the rant you just went on, not playing Final Fantasy 16.
Oh no, I've heard nothing but good things.
I like it. It is a lot of talky.
Like they compare it to God of War.
And there, I can see why in some cases. It is not an RPG. It is more like it. You gain experience, but it is not an RPG in the traditional sense of how Final Fantasy operates. Like, there's a skill tree, but it's more like Devil May Cry, where you're like earning experience points, and then you're just gonna spend them on buying new moves. Your gear basically doesn't matter. Like, you're just gonna go upgrade it to the best gear in the next town. Money at this point doesn't seem like it's an issue. I have so much money that it's, and I'm still early on. There's nothing to buy. There's no real reason to explore the world. It's very linear from point to point. They might give you a giant field and you could see some enemies and you might want to go fight them, because the combat is cool. It's neat. Like, it plays very much like Devil May Cry, maybe a little bit like God of War. There's no real reason to explore out there. There's not like chests with different loot that you're going to get that you're outfitting yourself or your team. It's just like, here's some more crafting materials that when you go back to town, you can go to the blacksmith and you can maybe upgrade your weapon, maybe, because sometimes you can't. So it's weird in that sense. I'm enjoying the story. It is like super generic Game of Thrones knockoff mixed with some anime bullshit. But I like the characters. It is weird that like they have made a game about slavery, which seems to be the primary thing going on here. There's these guys called Branded, basically magic users. All magic users at birth are taken from their parents and they become slaves. They're used for everything. Like, this world does not operate without the Branded, because everybody else is absolutely useless. They can't do shit. But it's like, oh, you want to, you want to have nice flowers in your castle? You get a Branded that is able to wield water magic, and he becomes your gardener. And you force him to water your plants with his magic, or your, you know, harvest your field, or you know, cook your food because you have fire magic. I don't know why that would make you a cook, but it's like weird shit like that. And then you, as Clive, the main character, something happens. He's a prince, or he's some sort of lord or something, at like 15. Something happens, and then the game jumps like 13 years later. And you wake up as Clive. You've been branded. You know, all this time has passed, but you are now a slave. And it's him coming to the realization that slavery is bad, because these people, like, wow, I had slaves as the Lord, but I didn't treat my slaves bad, but everybody else treats slaves bad. And now that I have the brand on me, marking me as a slave, everybody treats me bad. Slavery must be bad. It's like, yeah, it's pretty
congratulations.
Evident.
Congratulations.
Way to go, Clive. Quick on the uptake. It's really like, it's so dumb. And I hear that is the first half of this story, and then it turns to a more traditional Final Fantasy and is like, you know, the world's ending, we have to stop the world thing. So they just drop the whole slavery bit, that you're working with this guy Cid to you know, free all the slaves and change the world. Basically, he has like an underground railroad that he's operating. But all that stuff evidently gets dropped. I don't know. Character wise, it's fun. I like Clive. I like Cid. I like, there's this girl, Jill. She wields ice magic. They're all neat. Like, they, you know, their interactions are cool enough. The story is like super generic. Like, this thing happens at the beginning, and then Clive's like, I have a mission. And like that, he's like on a mission of revenge. And it's like, you know, like, it's pretty self-evident that like the mission he's going for, how it's going to turn out. And that's exactly what happens. As I don't want to spoil it for people that might be playing it, but it's like, yep, saw that coming. And also Clive's an idiot because he didn't realize slavery was bad. I don't dislike it. It is a weird game to call Final Fantasy, but as other people have said, you call anything Final Fantasy. There's no set like template for what Final Fantasy is. It's always changed from game to game. It's just, this is very, very different from any other Final Fantasy. Super horny. They say fuck a lot, which is weird for a Final Fantasy game.
All right, man.
There's some side boob going on.
I like super horny.
I mean, like that. Fortunately, you kill the chick who's like super horny early on, but she shows up like half naked in some like cutscenes and stuff. She's always yelling fuck, and she's always trying to sleep with people.
Available?
Huh?
She's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. Now. You kill her. In fact, where I ended up, your buddy Sid, he sends her, like, I think he sends her head or something to her boyfriend in a box. And he's not very happy now. That guy has declared war on Sid, because you killed Benedicta, his girlfriend. So, it's a weird game. I'm enjoying it. We'll see how it ends up. But I would not call it an RPG in the sense of like what you normally expect from an RPG. It is not that. Tony, did you play anything else this week?
Nope, just Pokemon and Diablo.
Okay, I want to tell you guys about one other game before we end this. Crime Boss Rakkei City.
I have seen this. It's the Chuck Norris game, isn't it?
Yes, Chuck Norris is in it as Sheriff Norris.
Chris just got super excited. I remember Chris, you sharing like the trailer for this game.
It's so bad. Michael Madsen, Chuck Norris, Danny Trejo, Danny Glover, Michael Rooker, Kim Basinger, Vanilla Ice. They're all in this game.
In a video game. Like, this would be, like, the greatest action movie of all time, but it's not an action movie.
Yeah, no, and they're
greatest, like... Greatest bad action
movie. Yeah, the worst action movie, yeah. It's like, these guys are not giving good performances either. They're so bad. The game is Payday. Like, that's what they did. They made a Payday game, and then put this, like, story with all these, like, fairly big, like, I mean, everybody I name there, you know who they are. They're not like big actors. Like, I mean, Danny Glover was at one point, Chuck Norris and, you know, Kim Basinger were. Everybody else is kind of like a B tier or C tier, but you know who they are. And to assemble them in this game, that had to have been your budget, because there's no budget in the rest of the game. The shooting's bad. Everything about it is just awful. It is hysterical. I got it for half off of its launch price of $40.
Didn't it just launch?
It did just launch.
How did you get it for half off?
So there was a sale before it came out on, was it like Green Man Games or something, for a code for $20.
Huh. Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, I will play a joke game for $20. I mean, I played Gollum for 60, so
did you beat clearly Gollum?
I did beat Gollum.
How do you beat Gollum and then they're like, I stopped God of War after 3 hours?
So Gollum was more like, I need to see, like, Gollum is
here's what it is.
You guys increasingly fascinate me.
as the person who beat Gollum, you are never going to meet another person in your entire life.
You're unique.
Who beat Gollum.
Yeah, exactly.
Gollum. It's just Chris. Chris is like a god.
I am the Gollum god.
He has done a mythical quest. Like, Jeff, he has achieved this thing that none of us else will ever achieve in our lifetime.
So, what I will say, Jeff, is that like I am finding these like weird, absolutely like not. These are mistakes. These games should never have been greenlit. I am finding them super fascinating, just exploring, like, how did they do this? Why did they do this?
You're like an archaeologist. You're trying to...
Yeah, just trying to figure, like, it's more like a...
forensic.
Yeah, like a forensic anthropologist.
How did this fucking crime scene happen?
Yes, like, why? Like, who thought this was a good idea, and how did they do... And, like, that cast, I was like, I have to see, like, what is going on here. It makes zero sense. Gollum makes zero sense. God of War is like, it's amazingly made, like super high production. It's just like, I got to a point and it's like, I got to a point just like you, where it's like, this is boring, as opposed to Gollum. It's like, this is terrible, but it's so fascinating that they thought this was the way to go.
Did you beat Belle in Wonderland?
I did. I did.
I think we found the secret sauce for Chris.
like give me the most batshit banana shit. And it's like, yeah. So Crime Boss, Rocket City. I don't know. Oh, and I forgot to mention, it's a roguelike. So if my Michael Madsen character dies at any point, like, and I'm not able to be revived by my crew, the game is over and I have to start over from the beginning. So there's a very good chance I do not finish this game. But batshit bananas game design they put through here. It got a 3 of 10 on a game in Game Informer. So that is, I think that's it for what we've been playing. Earl will maybe be back next week and we'll do our first Hall of Fame induction, and maybe we'll do a Game Pass game of the month for like the last 4 months, because we keep forgetting. Nothing else coming out this week though, right? Like, we're
no, I'm just gonna probably dig into that PlayStation library though.
Yeah, I mean, you have one now. You might.
Are you guys prepared to hear about how good From Software is? Because I could.
I am fine with you singing the praises of Demon's Souls. I think Tony and I realize at this point that those games are not for us.
Yes.
You played some of Demon's Souls, didn't you?
You can say whatever you want.
What did you think?
I think it is very good. I actually like Demon's Souls more than like Dark Souls or Elden Ring, just because of the nature of how that game is structured is level based.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 6 level or something. Yeah,
I am still absolutely atrocious at it, but yeah, it is. It is not like an open world. It is.
You made it through a few of the levels though, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. This is like, yeah. I get to a point where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I can do some of the early stuff, and then I get to these bosses where they're just like destroying me, and it's like, I'm not having fun now.
I am worried about going back to this, because like Elden Ring, you know, Elden Ring had like a jump button, things like that, right?
No jump button here.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see how it looks graphically. And,
you know. Did you ever play the original?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, graphically, I think it looks fantastic.
I mean,
it's a beautiful game.
Yeah, okay. The original, it's been a long time. It's been over a decade, but even then, the graphics were not the thing about it. It was just a completely new, fresh idea. Like, I'm interested. You know, I don't remember it really, so I'm interested to see what I think of it, because I feel like, you know, the game design has progressed a lot since then, but maybe there's something about it that still holds up. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure I'll like it.
Yeah. Be interested to hear what we have to say about it. So, all right. Well, we'll be back next week with stuff. Jeff is going to play everything on the PlayStation while also finishing God of War and Diablo. Tony's going to continue to catch Pokemon.
So many Pokemon.
And Earl will be back. He could tell us all about New Orleans and his 15-hour train ride.
So confused by what Earl is doing. I thought he was going back home.
He did go back home. He's just...
And now he's train ride again?
No. He took a 15-hour ride from... I think it was from Florida or from... No, it was from South Carolina. To New York, and that was last week. He's back in Brooklyn now.
Where does New Orleans play into this?
He flew to New Orleans.
Holy shit!
Yeah, he flew to New Orleans, and then he flew to
Planes, Florida. Trains, and automobiles.
He had to take an Uber at some point. So yeah, he definitely did good all job, four bro. Of those.
Fucking living my dream.
The only thing I don't think he did was a boat, but we'll find out when he gets back. Yeah, and he's just relaxing at the end of his 2 week vacation. So
I'm jealous of what he did. I want to do a cool train choo choo ride.
Yeah, I was looking at what you had sent out you were looking at Chicago to San Francisco or something like that. That is neat.
Look up like a YouTube video of it. Like you go through like all like some of the most amazing parts of the country, and just, I don't know. I think it'd be cool. Like just like look out the window and see all that. You're not driving. You don't have to think about it. You're cutting through mountains and shit. You know.
I did an overnight train ride in Alaska. That was pretty neat.
Holy shit, that's cool. Yeah.
And it had like this the top of the carriage car had like it was like basically a sunroof and you could see out from the top. It was really neat.
That's what like the Amtrak trains have like an observation car where it's just like all it's like glass all around. Like you just could sit there and like look out. Like
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. To me it sounds really cool. I'm sure for a lot of people it sounds really boring. One day.
Yeah, I think as long as you have a room, you're probably fine. Like,
My ex-wife is doing a trip like that with our two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good luck by herself.
Yeah.
How are the kids? Are they excited about this?
They are. I wonder how excited she is at this point. But...
Yeah. Those rooms are small.
Yeah.
So, like, real small. So, I'm sure they're having fun.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about trains and boats, and I'm sure Earl will have something witty to say about his trip. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Bonsoir.